And the Holy Spirit. Well, after 2 weeks of hearing John the Baptist saying the same thing over and over again, it's nice to get a different voice in the gospel. Today, being Fourth Advent and Christmas Eve, thank you for coming out. I know it's tough for Episcopalians to go to church twice in a week, much less on the same day, so I hope to see you back tonight. We have the Annunciation. Usually we would celebrate this March 25th. That's 9 months before Christmas, if you do the math, you see. When Mary is told that she's going to conceive and bear Jesus Christ. Just to clarify, this is not the Immaculate Conception. That was Mary's conception several years previously. Jesus' conception was not immaculate. It was miraculous. It was something completely other. Never done before, never to be done again. It is the enfleshment of the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of God. It is an amazing and miraculous thing that God should become flesh. And it's amazing to me that Mary was like, okay, whatever you say, Gabe. Because the whole concept of a human being being God, it was just anathema to those who believed in God. I mean, think about it. In first century Palestine, you'd already had a good 1,200 years, 12 centuries since Abraham, of saying there's only one God. And God is something completely beyond any of us. And yet here is a messenger from God, Gabriel the angel, coming and saying something miraculous is going to happen. God is going to become one of you. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. It's the inbreaking of God into God's creation. And it begins here with Mary, of all people, a virgin in Nazareth. Some 30 years later, the saying will be, can anything good come from Nazareth? So here we have this young girl, a nobody, in a nowhere town, in a nowhere province, and it's the center of the universe. I love the way that Luke talks about the birth of Christ. This is chapter 1. In Luke 2, we get the in the time of Caesar Augustus and in the proclamation that all the world should be taxed, and we'll hear that tonight. And it's an amazing thing that Luke contrasts Caesar, center of the universe, owner of all he surveyed, with this chick Mary in Nazareth. And that's the way that God works. God works through the meek, the mild, the compassionate, which is a good thing because that's us. We are not powerful people. Maybe some of you are. I don't know. I'm not. I don't aspire to be. It makes me nervous, quite frankly. But loving, compassionate, kind, that I can handle. Controlling, dominating, powerful. Not my way. I can play it on stage, but that's about it. Ask my wife. But that's not what we're called to be. God doesn't seek power and control and domination, tyranny. God works through transformation, not control. God seeks to transform his creation through people who love one another. When Jesus is asked, what's the most important thing you can do? He says it's to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Not dominate and control and be in charge and force people. It's to love, to know people, to care about others. When the angel Gabriel comes and tells her, you're going to give birth to a son whose kingdom will never end. Well, the kingdom of David as an earthly thing is gone, had been for centuries. It didn't last past his son Solomon, one more generation. As an earthly kingdom. But the kingdom of God is not of this earth. It's beyond, it transcends it. And yet, it's imminent. It's right here with us. Jesus taught the kingdom of heaven is within you. We exist in the kingdom of God right now. And as much as we love America and being part of this country and other people love their countries, they are passing at best. They're grass that withers and fades. And it's okay because we are part of a kingdom that lasts forever. Not some earthly dominion, but the kingdom of God. And we are given the opportunity, the responsibility of making that transformation now as we work to build up the kingdom of God. As the body of Christ, we're to do the work of Christ, and the work of Christ is transformation, changing the world more and more into the image of God's kingdom, into being God's kingdom. And it starts with the inbreaking 2,000 years ago. And yet we still rejoice at the thought that God is at work in the world. God is at work in me and in you and each one of us. Individually, corporately in the body of the church, throughout all God's creation, God's Spirit still moves and works, drawing us ever more into God. And so when God makes the first move of becoming one of us, that sets into motion the opportunity for us to become part of God. And that no matter what happens, we're drawn to God. That God knows us and loves us and wants us to know and love God and love each other. We think about the Magnificat. We sang a version of it here, that God is powerful and wonderful and throws down the mighty and raises up the lowly. That's what we give thanks for, because we're not the mighty. We're the lowly. But God raises us up to be with the truly mighty, with God. And that's a wonderful and amazing and joyful thing. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.